Bang and Angie given the honor, huh? Yeah, sadhu. Siao ye pressure at all. Now it flow. See ya. Sadhu. Yeah. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango sanghang namami. Okay, can be seated. Then we will chant the Vandana onward. Turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dhatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura meraya majapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now your chanda padipa puja offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsena tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyantang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena prie Upang mila yati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasabhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang padaya patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma and cools and roses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like this fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits, generosity, and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on the heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, then making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, except especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripa Jam. Vedang Pujayame. Dhammang Pujayame. Sanghang Pujayame. Okay, you all can be seated. We all have about 25 minutes of silent awareness meditation. We are off the light. Then you all can start your meditation. Relax body and mind, then completely silent everything. Yeah. Allow the silent mind to stabilize. Yeah. If your spiritual faculty is already there, you can straight away develop the ability to be aware, yeah, silent. Then stay at your object of meditation. If you already stabilize your awareness, sati, you can stay at your heart area. Just relax, silence everything and maintain awareness there. Whatever vibration or the heartbeat that you can look at, you just stay silent everything. Then remember the four support. Relax into every mind state that arises. Maintain awareness. Then stay there for as long as you can. Then through that silence or awareness, which is the meditative state or the meditative mind, you will understand many things. Especially how you function as a human being. Then how the form and mind interact with each other, together with the external sense data. Upon contact, through that silence, you will see many things. You will understand many things. You will see how your mind behaves, how mind state arise and how they pass away, how the respectively sensed or consciousness come to be, then how that mundane mind arise and move. Without delusion, it will know how to accept the reality of the moment. But when your stability of mindfulness is still not there, when your understanding is still not stable, then the mind may at times stir or react. But through your awareness and understanding, the moment it tries to proliferate, or get involved in the thinking, you just develop the awareness of it, then come back to your meditative state, silent everything. Initially, you can maintain awareness, awareness of whatever that is most clear to you, especially the heartbeat or the object of meditation that you are with, the awareness, just aware. then whichever sense door contact that arise, develop the awareness. The silence need to be stabilized until it's very, very clear within. You must stay with the awareness, the background awareness that can be aware of all the arising of thought, the movement of sankhara activity. So I will let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell after the 25 minutes is up. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will chant the Devarana. Sorry, Devaradhana. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release. Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajas Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhammasavana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhammasavana Kalo Ayam
Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Itti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Leja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anotaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Sata Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Opanaiko Pachatang Veditabo Inohiti Subhadipano Bhagavato Vakasango Ujjopatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yogani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaneyo
Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu.
Okay, let's pay respect to Pajam. Bedang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you all can be seated. Today is the 5th of September 2019, Thursday class. Okay. We're supposed to go through this book, the transcript book, 75th lesson of the 6th Patriarch Platform Sutra, page 37 onward. This one is very good because there is a question by Sister Lee, I think, on meditation, which is very good. Then later on, I think Ingby also asked some question. Adeline also asked some question. Okay, let us turn to page 37. Anybody want the hard copy? I got two more here. That's sweet, I got some. Come, pass it on. Then the rest can on your WhatsApp. The soft copy is there. I took it from the website. Okay. 3.3, meditation and meditation reporting. So that one, the first part on meditation, we skip it. Okay, for those who still want to meditate, you may continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then we will have our meditation reporting, followed by whatever question and answer. You just put up your hand, we will pass you the mic. Anybody who wish to report their meditation or ask whatever question relating to the Dhamma or the meditation, you can put up your hand. And I think Sister Lee was the one who asked the question. So the question is on daily mindfulness and understanding the cultivation. So she asked, Brother Teo, you always say meditation only begins when you are able to have the silent mind, which means you begin with the silent mind. Am I getting it right? So this is the question. What I normally tell the cultivator is the real meditation haven't started until your daily mindfulness has stabilized. Then you must meditate with the true mind or your silent mind. That is what I told them. But I think she was not very clear about the instruction. So she thought, when you are able to have the silent mind, means after your daily mindfulness stabilized, then you are able to develop the silent mind. Then he say, am I right in saying that the meditation begin with the silent mind? So the way she asked, my nature sense, she don't understand. That's why I answer her. I said, so is that your question? Then she elaborated on. He said, my question is, the self nature and the true mind are already in pure seeing. See, this one is again caught in the book knowledge. Mahayana Sutta always write that. Your true nature, your self nature, and the true mind are already in pure seeing. So she started with that question. So if it's already in pure seeing, then when we meditate, do we still need to meditate from the silent mind? See? Can you follow her question? Yeah? Can you follow her question? Yeah? When the mind is already very quiet, which means she don't understand what is the silent mind. She don't understand what meditation is. Otherwise, she won't ask that way. Yeah? The next page, the way I answer her is very good and very clear. Then I ask her again, so what is your actual question? Because I give her another chance to ask the proper question. He said, my question is, when the mind is already very quiet and silent, do we still stay with the silent mind? What does that question imply? Yeah? He doesn't know what is the silent mind in herself. That's why she asked, must we stay with the silent mind? Because if you know what is the silent mind is a meditative mind. Why you want to stay there? Understand or not? It's like you do vipassana. Still go rising, falling for what? Understand or not? Rising or falling is for you to train your sati so that it is very stable, so that the sati become very stable. Then you note the sati for what? Or you note the rising and falling for what? Understand or not? You say to meditate, but she don't understand. That's why she asked the same wrong question again. Or we just let anything arise from it and just be aware of it. See? This is again the thought asking question, not true understanding. Yeah. Then the way I understand her is very good. You have to listen. Eh? This one happened to be a very good session. But that day, a lot of very good questions, yeah, and the conditions were very beautiful. Then I told her, I said, okay, I will answer you. I think I know why you asked those questions, because you haven't really understood. That's why you still keep on trying to understand using your knowledge. You see, your first question is it true that unless you meditate until you can realize your silent mind, the real meditation hasn't started? This is what I have been telling you all this while. Not until your daily mindfulness is very stable, you cannot have the silent mind. So that is the point she didn't understand. That's why I asked her, do you understand? So you have to develop the training of the mind to have this ability to be mindful first. Then stabilize it until it is ever mindful. These two steps are different steps. Can follow? Yeah? Because the stabilizing takes a while. It's not so fast. Unless your spiritual faculty and your initial wisdom is already very stable, then you can get it quite fast. Yeah? Otherwise, the stability of that silence, the awareness, takes a while. The mind need to be very, very quiet, very still. And that is the silent mind, the free mind. Not in the conditioned state. This is what I have been sharing all this while with you all. First is to inquire, are your spiritual faculty, especially sati, developed? If it is still not developed, you will be heedless. You will think a lot because of the mental hindrances. So you have to cultivate the spiritual faculty. If you haven't worked on that and still want to meditate, then you have to use the mind sweeping method combined with metta to stabilize the mind so that the heedless thinking is temporarily at bay. Huh? Note the word temporarily at bay. Mind sweeping method cannot root it out because your spiritual faculty not developed. But if you have developed your spiritual faculty, you don't need all this method, technique, and mind sweeping method. Then you just feel and relax. Feel and relax means no more thinking. To decondition the heedless thinking so that it doesn't think anymore. Then it will be calm. Then when it is calm, you can use either anapanasati or whatever skillful means, like methods and techniques or object of meditation,
that you are familiar with to anchor the mind, to stabilize the sati. Just do that. Understand? That's why you look at the four support. I mark in red. What do I write there? Don't try to know. Just relax and maintain awareness. Don't try to know. So just do that. Stabilize it. Do until your mind becomes very quiet. Until the breathing also becomes like very quiet. Like there is no more breathing. Until the subtle breathing also stop or almost stop. And then the mind is just aware without any thought. That is the true silent mind. Ah, come, come, come. Yeah, join us. Yeah. Sadhu. Huh. So Jayanta is here tonight. Huh? Sadhu, come. Oh, you have to on the WhatsApp. Huh? You are in the My Kairamita group, isn't it? There is a link on this book. 75th lesson of the Six Patriarch Black Form Sutta. We are on page 39, yeah? The top page, yeah? The first four lines. So this mind that is just aware without thought is very important. So whatever method or technique you use to meditate, to stabilize the mindfulness, that is only the skillful means. That is just training your mind to be very, very mindful, very stable. So whatever method or technique you use, even your rising and falling, is the same. You have to silence your mind and maintain awareness until the movement slow down and like no more movement, until the mind enters sati. That is the most important phase. If your mind cannot enter sati, you don't stand a chance. Because in the formal meditation also, you cannot develop that ability to be completely silent. You don't stand a chance when you come out into the daily life. When you go back to normal activity in life. So in the midst of life, if your mind has not entered sati, it cannot develop the true stability of daily mindfulness. You cannot have the ability to be in the state of specific phenomenal awareness and spacious awareness without a center. Means your mind is not ever mindful. That's why this training is not easy. But if you understand and you have the faith and you diligently do it, it is not difficult, but it has to be done with virya, saddha, and diligence. You have to get it right. The moment you get it right, that is the beginning. Because sati sampajana is very important. After that, you still need to cultivate sampajana. So when you hit sati sampajana, that is just step 4 of Abhijja Sutta. Can follow, huh? Okay? Got any question or not so far? You don't have, then I continue. I will read the first part again. Do until your mind become very quiet. Until your breathing also become very quiet. Like there is no more breathing. Until the subtle breathing also stop. And then the mind is just aware without any thought. The meaning is very deep. Aware without any thought. Means no thinking, no verbalization, no movement of sankhara. And this awareness is your background awareness, your inner nature, silent mind awareness. That one can be aware of whatever that arises. But the arising is your mundane mind. Can you follow? If you cannot understand this, you cannot meditate. Where you meditate without understanding, then you are trying to play with the word. Am I aware? aware of what? That is a wrong question. Understand? The awareness is just aware before the perception. How can you ask the question aware of what? When you know you are aware of what, that is the thought telling you. And that is very difficult to understand. Because the logic is aware. Aware of what? It's like very logical. And I heard that question being asked in one of the Satipatthana, I think. You call it what, a workshop or what? I don't know. And they still believe that question is right. Then they were trying to discuss that question. So this one, you need to develop the understanding. The mind is just aware, I repeat, without any thought. So that is the base, the background awareness from where the understanding comes, from where the awareness of all the activity of the mundane mind surface. So whatever that arises through sense door contact, that stir the mundane mind, the arising of the mundane mind, the Buddha call it mano. Mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything arises. That is what the awareness should be there to observe, to just aware, so that you can understand what is going on, so that you can understand clearly who are you, what are you, what thought is all about, what sankhara activity are all about. So all this thing is meditation. It's only when you can understand that, then you can progress. Otherwise, not easy. This is the tranquil mind, which is silent and still. Have you done that? That's why I asked her. I asked Miss Lee, have you done that? If you have not done that, means you cannot understand. So this tranquil mind, which is silent and still, the background awareness, is the first thing you must stabilize and develop. Otherwise, your meditation haven't started. There is no way you can understand. What you think you understand is all knowledge, Dhamma knowledge, theory. If you have not done that, it means you have not trained this mind. If in the form of meditation also you can't get it right, then how can you get that state of silence or the silent mind to do the daily mindfulness in the midst of life? Do you understand? That's why your question will keep on arising as long as you have not done that. Because you try to preempt the thing. And you try to use your Dhamma knowledge to understand and believe you are doing it right. I have told you, it is not about right and wrong. Meditation has to be done with understanding. This is very, very important. If you cannot understand, you cannot do it correctly or appropriately. And understanding means it is not about what I am doing it, right or wrong. It's more of whether I understand what meditation is or not. When I understand what meditation is, I just do what I have to do. If I need to train the mind, I train. If I need to work on the spiritual faculty, I will work on them. This is clear, isn't it? Yeah? Simple, eh? If I need to stabilize the sati, I will stabilize it. Finish. No more question. If you understand, you just walk towards it. That's why the bowing comes in. The chanting continuously comes in. All this is to stabilize the mindfulness. Where you pay your respect mindfully. When you bow, Namo Bunsi Si Jiang Moni Fo. Xuan Hua require all his disciples to finish off the 10,000 bow salutation to Sakyamuni Buddha within less than 3 months. That's why every day you bow and chant Namo Bunsi Si Jiang Moni Fo bow. Then mindfully arise. Then again, Namo Bunsi Si Jiang Moni Fo. As you recite, you pay your respect mindfully. That's how you train. I remember that I did it in less than 2 months. That's why the mindfulness came. Yeah, the mindfulness came. You bow until when the mindfulness come, your form and mind is one with the awareness. You call it mindfulness. The awareness and the body and the mind move as one. The chanting also synchronize. Then during that stability of mindfulness, you suddenly realize this is the real sati without word. The awareness and the kaya move as one without word. Just aware. There is like nobody there. It's just a phenomenon, a movement. The awareness is with it. That is what kaya nupassana is all about. Mindfulness of kaya activity or movement. If you only do it in the retreat or in whatever chan qi, I use that word because Mahayana like to do that. I think mostly they always have the chan qi or what, the 7 days Zen retreat, and sometimes even for 1 month. It is not going to help you much because after that you have to come out of it. Then you go back to square one and become heedless again. Well, when you return to your daily life, to normal life activity in the midst of living, you cannot maintain the stability of mindfulness. So what I have been sharing with you all is train your mind, develop the spiritual faculty until it is very stable, until in the midst of life or in the midst of formal meditation, you are already ever mindful and aware. The silent mind is already there. The mind is already in sati, means mind has entered sati. That's why you are constantly aware, ever mindful. And the silent mind is every moment, every instant with you. That is heedfulness. Then bring it out into the daily life. We are having a good and comprehensive daily religious routine, so that throughout the day, you can stabilize your daily mindfulness to develop the heedfulness come meditation. Not until you are able to have that stability of ever mindful state while in the midst of life, the real meditation hasn't really started. You have to bear this in mind. That's the reason why I say if you understand, it's very simple, not difficult. But if you don't understand, you don't get it right, you are actually wasting your time. And it's very difficult for you to progress. Because when you can stabilize this daily mindfulness until you are ever mindful, that is the beginning of real meditation. It doesn't mean that all this while you have not been meditating, no. You have the first turning, second turning. Then you may do some form of formal meditation. But that is not the real training. The real training starts when you are able to stabilize your mindfulness, especially stability of sati, until in the midst of life, you can still be ever mindful. Means ever mindful throughout the day. That's why Dhammapada verse 23, the Buddha say, he defined heedfulness this way. The constantly meditative and, the ever mindful and constantly meditative steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana, in the here and the now. So this is what heedfulness is about. There are two parts to it. One is ever mindful. Second one is constantly meditative. So you look at the whiteboard. Heedfulness here is ever mindful, constantly meditative. So constantly meditative means constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. To be ever mindful, you need to train your mind to be mindful first. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. But if your spiritual faculty is already there, means your sati is already there, then you no need to train. your mind. But you need to have faith, sada, virya. And the virya will push you forward to develop the training. The spiritual zeal, tenacity will develop the diligence for you to cultivate. That's why you can stabilize your mindfulness. Then when you are able to stabilize it, you become ever mindful. And this has to be in the midst of life. Otherwise, you are only ever mindful in the formal meditation during retreat. Not much use. And most of them can only do it when they slow down everything. That's why they slow down their action, their movement, their activity, and they remain noble silent. Don't want to talk, don't want to do anything. Then they go into that calm state, thinking that they have progressed, they have realized. But the moment they come out of the retreat, they cannot maintain those meditative states, especially the heedfulness. So that is the reason why a lot of cultivators fail to progress. They are stuck because they don't understand the real meditation. So up to here can follow, eh? Okay? Yes. Angie, yeah, pass the mic to Angie. She has a question.
Okay, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
So in the constantly meditative mode, when
yeah.
we are practicing the Noble Eightfold Path, there could be some lapses in the in awareness.
Okay.
So you know there will be some mental states that you suddenly remember something. And the
no problem.
Trying,
yeah. That one is all right.
Yeah.
Because constantly here meditative means constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. It means in the midst of life. Yeah? Because in the early days I still remember 1986 to 1989 when I was developing the cultivation. Throughout the day, I fully aware, and I fully reflect, contemplate the Noble Eightfold Path, the essential Dhamma. Yeah. Then that contemplation develops until it's so stable, so clear. Then later on, because after I have stabilized the mindfulness, developed the contemplative wisdom, the first and second turning wisdom, then I realize I have to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. So my reflection and contemplation move to another level. It's no more about the essential Dhamma. I have to move into Noble Eightfold Path. First path factor is what? Samadhi. I have to reflect. What is Samadhi? What is Samadhi? Right view with regards to what? The three important spiritual law that governs life and existence. The law of karma, karma niyama. Then the law of mind, chitta niyama, how our mind functions. That's why I have to see in the meditation to understand paticca samuppada. Most Buddhists do it the other way around. They read the sutta thinking that they understand the paticca samuppada, then they go and look for it in the meditation. This is not going to help you because you don't know what that thing is. But when you see it dependent originating within your own form and mind, then you understand not the word, you understand the actual dwelling that the Buddha talked about. That's why I can explain the dependent origination. No need to go through what the book say, the three lifetime. It's instantaneous. Within the moment, every instant, it is arising and passing away. Then after that, you have to go to the third spiritual law. Dhamma niyama means the nature's law of Dhamma, which is the truth. All the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. That's why under Dhammanupassana, there are five categories of training. The first category is mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. Then mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind, so that you understand who are you, what are you. The first category is to understand the mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. Then you have to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty to root out the mental hindrance. When the spiritual faculties are there, the hindrance cannot arise. Then after that, you see clearly the five aggregate of form and mind. You understand that they are impermanent. When you grasp cling, one thing's your way, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not an atta, it's not a self. It tends towards suffering. That's why they are all anatta, non-self, not what you think. Then after that is mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases for you to cultivate the fourth way to realize the wisdom to abandon defilement. When you do mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases, your mindfulness will allow you to trace the origination factor of how defilement come to be. Then through the ability to meditate through the silent mind, the third way, you will know how all this defilement cease to be. That's why you will be able to develop the wisdom out of it, so that you can retrospectively reverse it. Then you straighten your view, so that the next time you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think, or anything, or similar thing, your mind will not react and stir like before. The mental hindrance will not arise, because you have the initial wisdom. You have the contemplative wisdom. So that's how the third category of mindfulness comes. Then the fourth category of mindfulness under Dhammanupassana is mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. Because during that time, the seven factors of enlightenment keep on coming out. Well, as you move into the four foundation of mindfulness cultivation, that is step 8 of the Abhijja Sutta. Then step 9, the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. And the fourth category of cultivation of Dhammanupassana is mindfulness of these seven factors of enlightenment. As you cultivate, as you see them arising, you are mindful of them. The seven factors of enlightenment, we go through it. Okay, first is sati. Then Dhamma Vichaya. Dhamma Vichaya is Dhamma investigation. Without the stability of mindfulness born of sati sampajana, you cannot investigate Dhamma. You cannot see defilement. You cannot cultivate four foundation of mindfulness. No way. You are not ready. So that's the reason why when the seven factors of enlightenment arise, you will see them. Sati, of course, throughout the day is there, you see. Then how we investigate Dhamma? Throughout the day, in the midst of life, it can investigate just like that. And it always stands up to investigation. That's why this Dhamma Vichaya is there. And because it's there, your faith strengthens. You stand up to investigation. So faith will bring about the third factor of enlightenment, which is virya. It will drive you more determined to move along this path of Dhamma. Then when you move into virya, the virya will drive you to continuously stabilize your sati until you experience piti, which is the fourth enlightenment factor. Then as piti continue to develop, you will experience sukhang, more refined. Then as you move beyond sukhang, the mind becomes very quiet, very still, and very tranquil. And that is paucity. That is the fifth enlightenment factor. That is the one you must get it in the form of meditation, the silent mind, the meditative mind. You cannot get that, you cannot meditate. The real meditation haven't started. That's why the fifth enlightenment factor of paucity is very important. Then you stabilize it. it becomes samadhi. The sixth enlightenment factor, they will arise. Yeah. Then with sati, samadhi, and pasati, you can see things as they are. The wisdom will arise. You will awaken. That's how the last factor of enlightenment, upeka, equanimity, come to be. It will arise. Born of wisdom. Then after that, the last category of cultivation is what? Under Dhammanupassana, the fifth category. Mindfulness of? Four Noble Truths. Sadhu. Very good. That's how English can remember. And this Four Noble Truths is not explained clearly in the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. You look at the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, the instruction is very short. But actually, it's about the previous Sunday talk that I share with you. It's about mindfulness of the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. The Buddha also did that. That's why there's a Satipatthana, that whole section missing, the cultivation. The mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. You need to go through the three turning. That's why in the daily mindfulness, the Buddha say, ever mindful, constantly meditative. This is the meaning. So from Noble Eightfold Path, you start with right view. That's why I shift my contemplation, reflection, and cultivation to the Noble Eightfold Path towards the end. Then from this right view, like what I have explained to you all, the first one is law of karma. From that law, the advice of the Buddha comes. That one we already gone through, very easy to understand. That's why the famous verse by the Buddha, Sabba Papasa Akaranang, Kusale Sa Upasampadan, Sacitta Pariyodapadan, Etang Buddhana Sasana. The meaning is very clear. Sabbe is all, Papasa is evil, Akaranang, you have to avoid all evil. Not only avoid evil, avoid all evil. When you can avoid all evil, you are incapable of evil. Which means you are naturally without evil. That's how you can have virtue, goodness. If you don't have this ability to avoid all evil, whatever you do, do good. All is good according to you. Because you are still deluded. You're still capable of evil. The evil roots are still there. That's why when you can avoid all evil, that is the beginning of real cultivation. So how to avoid all evil? The Buddha said, keep your precepts. Then train your mind. Develop mindfulness, heedfulness, until very stable. Then understand what constitutes evil. Then arise the four right effort to deal with the wrong thought, the evil thought, and all those things. First, the evil thought that has arisen. First right effort to abandon it through one of the five ways that the Buddha have taught us. Then when you have developed the initial wisdom, when you have straightened your view, you can arise the second right effort to prevent the arising of the wrong thought, wrong speech and wrong action. Why? Because your wisdom is there. You are aware. Before it arises, your wisdom, yoniso manasikara, which is step four. That yoniso manasikara, the initial wisdom, will prompt you and tell you what this thing is. That's why it cannot arise. It will cease. That's why the right effort to prevent it from arising is through the initial wisdom, nothing else. Then after that, to cultivate the third right effort, initially not easy. A lot of people don't understand. Because I went into it. I reflect, I ask myself, what is right thought? What is right speech? What is right action? Not until you understand all this, you cannot deal with it. That's why under the Avijja Sutta, after you have developed the initial wisdom, then only you are able to have more moment of silence in the midst of life. You remember? When you see something, hear something, smell something, because this initial wisdom is there, born of first and second turning wisdom, reflection and constant reflection and contemplation of the Dhamma. Then this one will come out and prompt you. then your mind will not stir and react into like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. That's why the mind become more quiet, more peaceful, more at peace. Because the moment is stirred through like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, these are mental hindrances, sensual desire and ill will. That's why you cannot develop the daily mindfulness. If your mind keep on reacting and stirring, the mental hindrances are there, and it becomes so habitual, it becomes habitual tendency. That's why automatic, you cannot be peaceful. You are agitated, unhappy. There is this constant movement between like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. You oscillate between the two duality of sensual desire and ill will. And these two mental hindrances are so powerful. When they are there, it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. It prevents you from being mindful, aware. That's why without the stability of Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom, you don't stand a chance to be mindful at all. You need this initial wisdom to prompt you at the moment of sense experience, then you can deal with it. Then only the Sati Sampajana can come about. There will be more and more moments of silence, space between thought. You are more and more aware, mindful, peaceful, tranquil, still, until the mind becomes very silent. That is what the silent mind is all about. Then you need to cultivate the clear comprehension. When you understand the clear comprehension, then your mindfulness, protected by the four types of clear comprehension, you will not go wrong. You will not go astray. You will be guided by the clear comprehension. That's why after that step five, Sati Sampajana, you will have sense restraint. You remember? Step six, sense restraint. Sense restraint means what? You cannot break the precept anymore. Your senses, whatever that arises at the moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, feeling, thought process, there is sense restraint. Means your mind does not stir anymore, does not react anymore, does not condition you into mental hindrance anymore. Without sense restraint, you cannot keep your precept. That's the reason why under the sutta, do you know what they tell you? If you have realized sotapan, what will happen to you? You will not break your five precepts. That's the reason why. Because you have sense restraint. That's why once you hit step six, step seven is automatic. But also need a bit of time to train. Because when you have sense restraint, it doesn't mean you can have the three way of right conduct. But you can reflect and contemplate. What constitutes right thought, right speech, right action. That's why that one took me quite a while. When I was in Malaysia, I contemplated. When I was in Japan, I contemplated. When I was in Japan, that trip, I went with my the other classmate, the Happy Science, Ogawa, his soja, not bad. He called it soja, his way place, called it soja. The energy very strong, very good. But the good thing about Japan is I like the nature, the vibration. Very different. Then especially all the places we went to, because he wanted me to help him check whether that particular branch of Buddhism is correct or not. So that's why I follow him. And by chance, I follow him. Because I wanted to help him. He is my very close uni mate. Then he wants to marry a wife who is also from that type of Buddhism. That's why he was very concerned. So I went with him. Then I helped him also. But it was there because of the condition, everything. Then they also teach Noble Eightfold Path, no? the workshop, the seminar. And they also help a lot of cuckoo fellow come out of it. No? Mental people, mental problem and all those things. Because they apply Noble Eightfold Path. It will lead you out of suffering. But they teach differently. Yeah, differently. Yeah. some of the essential Dhamma are still the same. But it was there that I reflected, contemplated, and I developed all the understanding of what constitutes right thought, right speech, right action, which I have shared part of them with you all over the years of sharing. Yeah. So when you understand what constitutes right thought, then only you can develop right thought. That's why the third right effort is what? Right effort to cultivate the right thought or the virtuous thought, means the virtue that are not still in, not in you. Do you understand? That's why after right view is right thought, right speech, right action. If your view is not right, your thought will not be right. Your action, your speech will not be right. Your livelihood also will not be right. Everything falls apart. That's why right thought is most important. It is the number one path factor that the Buddha put in front. Yeah. So this right thought will condition right speech and right action. So what are right thought? All your virtuous thought are right thought. Not only the four Brahma Vihara, they always in the text tell you loving kindness, metta, yeah, karuna, compassion, mudita, sympathetic joy when you rejoice, and upeka. These are right thought. Not only these four. These four are basic, very basic. Yeah. But the most important right thought are all the virtue that you can think of. Your kind thought, your sincere thought, your contentment thought, thought of contentment, respect, gratitude, generosity, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness, goodness. All these are right thought. Thought of benevolence, thought of helping people to be a blessing to the world. Of course, it will include the four Brahma Vihara. Then after that, as you move on into the cultivation, you realize right speech are speech that are very conducive for harmony, for having understanding to resolve issue and problem, to make people happy. That's why you must have good, gentle, pleasant, and appropriate right thought, which are conducive for harmony, which will bring about understanding, which can help humanity, which can help society, the environment, to resolve misunderstanding, issue, and other things. So if you speak to people gently, pleasantly, with respect and kindness, people feel good. That is what right speech is all about. Then right action means you have to act righteously without the evil root. You don't kill, you don't harm, but you also do the ennobler. You protect life. You save life. You try to avoid whatever calamity that can bring about disaster to humanity, to the environment, and other things. That's why your whole embodiment of character, personality, and virtue and understanding transform, become different. And everything you do is different. Your actions are all above board, with wisdom, understanding, without evil root. You won't steal. You won't misappropriate. Instead, you develop the ennobler. You become generous. You cultivate generosity, service, help people, and all those things. They're all of the right action. Yeah. So all these are genuine action. You become very benevolent. You become very righteous, very truthful, very sincere. You cultivate virtue, goodness, wholesomeness. And this cultivation of virtue cannot arise without wisdom. Wisdom must arise first. That's why yoni sok manasikara must be there. then only the three way of right conduct is possible. That is what Noble Eightfold Path cultivation is all about. Then after the four right effort, you will know how to live your life. There's a right living, right livelihood. The power factor is fulfilled. Then right mindfulness and right samadhi is in the meditation, the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why after the step seven, the three way of right conduct, you move to step eight or avijja sutta, which is cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why after you are able to develop step six and seven, means sense restraint and the three way of right conduct, you are at least a sotapan. Otherwise, you cannot reach that level. Even step six, confirm. You finish that step six, you are incapable of breaking your precept, means sense restraint. You are at least a sotapan. If you cultivate before in the past, you may go beyond. Then by the time you move into the four foundation of mindfulness, you remember under the Satipatthana Sutta towards the end, what did the Buddha say? If you have done this constantly, starting with one week, maybe until 7 years. 7 years are longest now. So you still have a lot of time. You know what will happen? You will realize at least Anangami. Why he say at least Anagami? Because step 6 and 7 already make sure you Sotapanna and Sakadagami. Understand? No? That's why when you go into four foundation of mindfulness, it's always at least Anagami. If not, Arahantship. That's how the cultivation is to be developed. So now you can follow. I don't have time to finish Noble Eightfold Path today. We are too long. So you know how to cultivate it. You have to move your contemplation out from the essential Dhamma to Noble Eightfold Path. And that is a big topic. And throughout the day, you can be ever mindful, reflect, contemplate, even at home, even in the office, in the midst of life. You can just sit down alone, reflect, contemplate. Sometimes I take out a piece of paper, I write them down, so that I can remember them. Because the memory doesn't work anymore. When your understanding and wisdom arise, it will transform. Then this one becomes non-grasping. You understand? The brain becomes non-grasping. No more upadana khandas. It cannot hold, it cannot grasp. That's why it cannot try to remember things. No point. If you try to do that, you will suffer. Because that egoic mind, the thought is trying to remember. The Dhamma is different. The Dhamma you have means you have. It's inside your nature. Because your silent mind, which is your true mind, your nature, awaken to it and realize it. That's why this wisdom is connected to this form of mind within the nature. That's why it will always stay with you. But this one, the wisdom that you develop this life, like this segmented life, when this form of mind cease or parinibbana, that wisdom also cease, gone with it. But don't worry, your spiritual nature, your karmic nature already inherited. Understand? But in future when you come, the karma immediately follow you. That's why the Buddha say, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So that one, 100% follow you. They say, your filial piety, karmic nature. Understand? But spiritual nature, not so easy. You can never inherit until you know how to meditate, you know how to connect to your nature. Means you have to realize your true mind. Otherwise, you cannot inherit. So that one, you need to connect. You need to develop the meditative understanding, connect to that true mind, the silent mind, the nature. And then immediately after you connect, you have cultivated before, the understanding just come. Like this life, after 1989, the nature inherited everything that it has cultivated. That's a lot of things I teach you and I share with you. This life I never learned. Nobody taught me. Yeah. So all this, because there is condition, I will share today. Because now the consciousness has evolved. Many people can understand. It's very different now. Yeah. Then with the video, it's going to be even more different. Yeah. Okay? So I answer your question. Huh? Okay, so we continue. Huh? Yeah. You can rejoice if you want to. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we are on page 41. Huh? Is it page 41? Oh, no. 40, yeah. 40, yes. Oh, second paragraph. Huh? All those retreat experiences done by those who don't have the right understanding are mostly conditioned mind states. Conditioned state meditative experiences born of thought-based meditation, where they are trying to meditate with concept and idea created by thought. They are trying to do all those things in the name of meditation without proper understanding. And they don't understand that all this doing are by the thought. So who is meditating? The thought is meditating through what? Verbalization, noting here and there. Why can't you just relax, silent, and stabilize your spiritual faculty? Stabilize your sati, or silent mind. And don't try to know anything. So the key is don't try to know anything. Just do. Do until the stability of mindfulness arise or come about. Then the form and mind will know what the sati is. Like I told you earlier, you bow until the sati come, you will understand what sati is. Because your awareness will experience that sati. Means the bodily movement and action and the awareness move as one. Then you realize sati is without word. No need to do, no need to try. The moment you are aware or silent without thought, you are already aware, and the awareness will be with it. That is what sati is all about. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware, mindful. Why must you try to be mindful? Who is trying to be mindful? The thought. Try to be mindful. And when thought is active, how can you be mindful? Mindfulness is awareness without any thought. And you are using thought to look for mindfulness. That's where people go wrong. Do until when you bow, your body and mind move as one. When you walk, act, speak, and move, your body and mind is also as one. You have to do until that sati really stabilized. I remember that time during the early day. Throughout the day, all my movement, the awareness is with it or no. Oh, no need to be mindful one. It become a part of my nature already. So every movement, every action in the present moment, fully aware. And the mind is not trying to be fully aware. No. It's because that sati has become so stable. Mind has entered sati. That's why I told you, every moment of seeing is in sati. Hearing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought process is in sati. Then everything that this mind that is in sati want to be aware, it will be with it. That's why specific phenomenal awareness become very natural. Every sense experience is specific phenomenal awareness. Then when it decides to silence everything, spacious awareness without thought will just come out. That is the mind. That is the meditative mind. That's why in the sutta it's also mentioned, you can realize that state anytime, anywhere, any place. But they use a wrong word. They term samadhi as jhana. They go and interpret it as you can be in that state of jhana anytime, any place, any moment. But now the new teaching different. Awareness-based jhana. No more the energy field jhana. They say got two types of jhana. The second one is correct. Awareness-based jhana. You know what is jhana or not? Maybe I make use of the explanation. Huh? Okay. First jhana is what? You have the five jhana factor, isn't it? Yeah? Vitaka, vichara, piti, sukang, ekagata. That is already first jhana. If you go into our silent mind awareness meditation, do you know what jhana is there? You've gone beyond all. Because you no need vitaka, vichara, no need to apply thought, no need to sustain your thought there. You already aware. Then you experience piti, sukhang, and you even realize paucity. And you don't have to fix it with ekagata. Do you understand? And they are so fancy by that type of energy field, locked inside there. Of course, they can't find anything more refined than that. It's just like drug. Huh? Initially, the gross one also very nice. But as you taste the drug, you become more like addicted. You want what? More refined one. And so. Then you go and look for more expensive one. Then you say, this one very good, very good. But all these are drug. Understand? No? There is a conditioned state. You keep on chasing after better and better meditation. The Buddha never teach this style of meditation. The Buddha teach you to meditate to realize wisdom. Nothing to do with all those good states. Fantastic meditative state experience. These are defilement of insight. You can be trapped there. You attach. We are all sensual. Pleasure is a prelude to suffering. Well, when you attach, cling, and look forward to having all this fantastic meditative experience, what will happen when one day you cannot experience them? When you cannot get what you want? You will suffer. Because it's not about that type of experience. It's about having the wisdom not to be deluded by the defilement. Having the wisdom to awaken so that you are not deceived by it. Having the wisdom born of the direct seeing, the awakening, the insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. Anicca, dukkha, anatta, so that you are not deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness, so that your mind is ever mindful, constantly meditative, in the state of stillness, tranquility, awareness, to experience the moment, to live life, to really develop the joy, the inner peace, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, to experience the beauty and wonders of life. And everything becomes so clear, so pristine. You can understand them all, you can experience them all, and all these mind states are so beautiful. Your mind is no longer like before, heedless, agitated, restless, having problems here and there. All this ceases to be. That is what meditation is all about. Okay? So that one clear. We go on. Yeah. Last paragraph, page 40. Then coming to your second question, your question comes from the thought. Why must you stay with anything? Do you remember? Her question is, must I stay with the silent mind? Means you don't understand what the silent mind is. The silent mind is the meditative state. You stay with that for what? You have to cultivate until it's very stable, until it's part of your nature, until your mind enters the deep. Then that thing is the one that live life, understand or not? That thing is the one that awaken and develop the understanding. You stay with that for what? It's just like I explained just now. A lot of people are so gullible, they thought the object of meditation is the meditation. So what do? Every time they don't note the rising falling, they thought that they are not doing vipassana. Every time they are not with anapanasati, they say, I'm not meditating. That is wrong view. You don't understand. Anapanasati is the initial training under kaya nupassana to develop sati. Then you're supposed to stabilize it. That's why under kaya nupassana, what did the Buddha teach? First category is anapanasati. After that, second category of kaya nupassana is what? Mindfulness of four posture. Then after that, Sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment. Then only you move on to contemplate the four elements, the 32 parts, the 9 stages of 7-3 decomposition. Then only you can move on to Vedana Nupassana. Because after that, your initial wisdom already established. Otherwise, you cannot go into four foundations of mindfulness. That's why the Avijja Sutta, the 10 steps are very important, very clear. And you have to check using that. If your cultivation is based on that, it's so beautiful. That's the reason why when I was preparing the website, you know what happened or not? I didn't even know about Avijja Sutta. No? Brother Lau say, Brother Teo, you have to write out your website. So I was writing up my website. Then I was asking myself, what to write? Of course, the basic thing I have, but anything about Dhamma that is important to write. Then suddenly, this Avijja Sutta suddenly appeared on my computer. The internet there, the Google there. I was Google something else. This Avijja Sutta come out. And I was so amazed. How come got this type of sutta I never heard before? So I clicked on it. Then I saw the two cycles, the ignorance cycle and the enlightenment. Then I saw the 10 steps. Then I checked, I straight away understand. Because my cultivation was based on that. That was how I cultivate without knowing that there is an Avijja Sutta. That's how I put it into the website. And when I put it into the website, a lot of people don't understand. Until I have to share it in the class. And recently, I was able to share because people start to understand already. Okay? Can follow? So, don't play a fool with Avijja Sutta. Because it's a sutta on ignorance. No? If you don't even want to understand that sutta, you can never rid yourself out of the ignorance. You will be stuck inside there. Okay? So, we have finished page 40. Okay. When you use word to describe, you must not be entangled and confused by the words. When they tell you, stay with the knower. This one is another classic example. You read a lot about stay with the knower, especially Thai tradition book. But don't go and quote me and get me into trouble, please. I just explain to you. Well, their meaning is different. They translate from the Thai, understand? No? And the Thai, I believe the Achan no, understand? No? It's not the knower, it's the awareness. They always tell you stay with the knower. Who's the knower? He's the thought, understand? No? Only the thought can know, who else can know? You have to perceive through the thought, understand? No? That's why I read to you, then you will understand. When they tell you stay with the knower, like some Thai tradition, many of them never inquire, who is the knower? There is no one to know. Do you understand? The moment you know, you are not in sati already. Because you have started to perceive. That's why the aggregate of perception, sanya, come in. So this is the wrong word to use. What they mean is stay with the awareness. The awareness is just aware, which means don't arise the thought. That's why don't go and note. Don't go and verbalize inside there. Don't go and create thought, am I doing it correctly? Is this what the Buddha say by craving? Is this attachment? Is this pity? Is this first jhana or first jnana or what? You are verbalizing. You are trying to learn the Dhamma, the theory, the theoretical Dhamma, and look for it in the meditation through what? Through thought. Actively trying to relate. This is not meditation. This is all thought-based activity. Okay? I will read on. What they mean is stay with the awareness. The awareness is just aware, which means don't arise the thought. They use the wrong word in the translation, and you all don't understand, because in the translation it says, stay with the knower. it is not the knower, because the knower already perceived, already knows something, and that is the thought. So stay with the awareness. The awareness is already there when the mind is silent or without thought. You are already aware. Why do you want to try to be aware? Why do you still want to stay with anything? The moment you are without thought, after you have trained the mind to be silent or in sati, the awareness will arise. Without thought, the awareness is already there. Then why do you want to try to be aware and use another thought with a concept to look for that sati and mindfulness? So now tell me, you understand, your various layer of thought behind. All these are thought, no point. That awareness of sati is not the word, for it cannot be named. If you have the understanding, when your mind is silent, it's already there in sati. For mindfulness is awareness before the knowing, means before you perceive something. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's just the seeing consciousness. You understand? No one to see as yet. But when the egoic mind come in, the content of consciousness went in, you associate with the seeing, then you say, I see. That's how the ego come in. Then it start to perceive, it start to create all the movement, the sankhara activity. But you can't be silent because you want to know via thought. This one you must remember. Correct? A lot of these people, when they meditate, what do? They want to know, isn't it? Have I progressed? Am I doing it right? And this is all through thought. That's why. But you can't be silent because, I should add in the word, the very common mistake is, you want to know via thought. Do you understand? When you want to know via thought, how can you be silent? The first tooling is what? Avijja paccaya sankhara, you keep on arising it. Straighten your view. Why must you know anything? That's why I say, don't try to know. I mark this in red. Many years ago. We are now only got time to explain. Do you know why I want to go into this one or not? Well, I feel like a lot of people, not only Miss Lee, cannot understand. But there are some who understand. They have gone beyond all this. But most people are still not able to. That's why I want to make use of this lesson to explain. Because I so happen, I flick through this book today in my office. Because I was trying to do the two latest book coming out on. Brother Tim sent to me. Then I edited it, sent back. Then I was reading through the final copy, the final copy, the proofreading, I was saying. Then I suddenly saw this book. Then I flicked through. Then I saw this meditation question. Then I recall what I shared that time. Then I remember this book is very important. That's why after I read through again, then I straight away go to the website. I copy the PDF out, then I send it out to you all today. And I say, tonight, we will share this page, this topic, page 37. Can I ask you all a question? Those who attend the Wu Ping Jing Sunday class. When I share this that time, do you all really have the understanding? But at that time, I think NB, they all who ask those questions, they understand. They have some form of understanding, but not so clear as today. Tammy also there, I remember. So this one is a very good opportunity, condition. So I will read on. Fourth line from the bottom. For mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. But you can't be silent because you want to know via thought. Yes, this one also we covered. That's how your problem comes in. It is because you are too eager to know. You are searching it from your thought, from your knowledge, which is Dhamma knowledge. That's the reason why many of you are trapped. That I told Miss Lee, not only you. Understand? Eh? So what you need to do, what you need to understand is not whether what I am, what I have done is correct or not. Because he always want to ask that question, am I doing it right? Meditator always ask this question. Brother, correct? Never do that. If you do that, means you can never learn. Because you don't want to investigate. If you investigate, the question doesn't come out. But it's not about right and wrong. It's always about whether you understand what you are doing in the name of meditation or not. When you understand, no question. You just do. But when you don't understand, then you can ask. You understand? Doesn't mean you cannot ask. You can ask to make clear what meditation is so that you know how to move in. Phase one of Dhamma, Pariyatti. Make sure you get it right. Then only move in, Patipatti. You will never go wrong. Then you progress very far. Otherwise, you are stuck. Otherwise, you keep on asking. Forever you will ask. Because you're not sure. But you, from what I understand, you say like that. Just like just obviously. So, in meditation, must I just stay with the silent mind? Means you don't want to understand. That's why this type of question come out. If you have developed the understanding, this type of question won't come out. So what she should ask is, if I stay with the silent mind, what am I really doing? He should inquire, am I training my mind? Am I developing the spiritual faculty? You are not doing any of that thing. You are using thought to stay with something. Understand? It's like the object of meditation. Every time you want to stay there, for what? The object of meditation is for you to anchor your mind, stabilize your sati, so that it does not wander off. Do you understand? So if you know that all this is to anchor your mind, so that it is not heedlessly lost in thought, then why you keep on going back and hold that thing? It's like the red hot iron ball. Keep on holding on to it. This is my problem. But when you hold, what happened? It burn you. It torment you. And you still say, this is my problem. I have to solve it. That's why you keep on holding on to it, worrying about it. But to solve it, you don't have to hold. You don't have to worry. You don't have to create the fear. You can just, without being tormented, with a clear mind, silent, and ask yourself, what happened? Then find out. Then inquire, how can I resolve it amicably so that I can move from here? Not to worry about it, not to go and cling, hold, and develop all the entanglement. So meditation is the same. When you have the understanding, you just do. You will know what to do. Okay? So I will read on. Wow, so fast, another 10 minutes. Okay. What I have done is correct or not, right or wrong. That one comes from the thought. Always remember. It's more about whether I understand what I am doing or not. That's why I bold that sentence. When I understand, I just do. The understanding is more important because when we understand that without the spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrances will be there, then I can silence my mind to check whether my spiritual faculties are there or not. Then I can see the sankhara movement, the restlessness of mind, the sensual desire, the emotion arising within the daily life. If I realize that the mental hindrances are still active, it means I have not trained my spiritual faculty. If my spiritual faculty are there, and the sati is very stable, then there is no thought. If that is so, then how can the duality arise? Who create duality? It's the thought, isn't it? Thought divide, isn't it? Thought say pleasant and unpleasant. Good and bad. nice and not nice, like and dislike. So these are duality created by thought through words and concept. How can sensual desire and ill will arise when there is no thought? Then when I have samadhi, I can see things as they are at the moment of sense experience. When I eat something, see something, smell, hear, and tactile feel or think of something, this mind doesn't move anymore because it is collected and unwavering. That's why initially you need samadhi. The samadhi is the collected mind, unwavering mind. It has that stability before the wisdom, the full wisdom set in. It is just aware. It can be with the moment. So when you understand, you just train this mind until it is ever mindful. That part you have to do. That's why whatever method or technique you use, like the rising, falling, rising and falling, or chanting, you can chant until there is no one chanting, until the awareness and the vibration become one. Sometimes, the Amitabha chanting can arise in the brain, somewhere here. I point to the brain at the back, somewhere there. It will arise. Amitabha, Amitabha, Amitabha. It will continuously arise. It will arise without you chanting. And the awareness is always with it. That is the real chanting. As long as you ask, as long as you still need to verbalize, you have not reached the stage where there is no one is chanting. Do you understand? If you still need to verbalize, you are still not in that deep state. Yeah. But initially, they had to start by verbalizing. Yeah. That's why they have faith. They develop the faith, virya, sati, sada, virya. Then they develop the chanting with faith. Until this chanting becomes a part of them. It's until their mind enters sati. Then one day when the condition is there, without him chanting, the Amitabha chanting will arise. Then the mind is just aware of the chanting. Yeah. It happened to me. One day when I was driving in the year 1989, as you remember, then suddenly this, I was listening to one cassette tape given by Reverend Mahinda and Sister Sumitra during the 80-something, I think 87 or 88, I think, the early years. Guang Qing Lao He Sang, the old monk from China. He is an illiterate also. It's about his Kai Si Lu. So the person who recite his Kai Si Lu under that cassette tape, he has this background music, the Amitabha chanting. Amitabha, Amitabha, Amitabha. And this background music continuously run on. Then I was listening to the sharing, the Dhamma. Oh, his Dhamma is very short, very precise, and very good. Yeah. That's why when I heard the sharing, there was one part. Guang Qing Lao He Sang in the Kai Si Lu, he said, 过去心不可得, 未来心不可得. Then the third one, I was very surprised when he said that, 现在心也不可得. When he recited that, straight away, deep inside my heart, there was this joy. Then I realized he is so wise. Because, how many of you don't understand Mandarin? Oh, Gordon don't understand. 过去心不可得 means the mind of the past is already gone, not a reality. You cannot hold on to it, understand? Then, the future is also yet to come. So it's also not a reality. So you cannot hold. The present moment is the only reality in life. Okay? That is the 现在心. He said, that one also 不可得. You also cannot hold on to it. Do you know why or not? in the conditioned world, we need the present moment, the awareness. We need this to understand, to meditate. But in the ultimate realization, you cannot hold on to the present moment. When you hold on to the present moment, means what? The present moment is the highest in life, in the existent world. You are still in life. Understand? The present moment is still part of the conditioned arising world, existential world. That's why to go beyond birth and death means 了生死, you have to transcend even the present moment. And how do you transcend the present moment? You have to realize the cessation. Do you understand? You have to realize the enlightenment, which is Nibbana. That's why he is very wise. 现在心也不可得. You don't even go and attach to a present moment. But you don't be gullible. Huh? Just because he say, Brother Teo say, very good, you don't want to attach to present moment. Then how to meditate? How to cultivate? That's why don't be gullible. These are for enlightened beings to talk about, understand? Huh? Because they want to go beyond life. That's why the present moment to them also still part of life. That's why you have to go beyond. Beyond means what? You must realize the wisdom so that the form and mind realizes itself and sees. You can realize the unconditioned, which is beyond form, beyond mind, beyond thought, beyond the conditioned world, which is the unconditioned. That's why people with great wisdom, they understand. And the whole thing was in Mandarin, no? But every word was so beautiful. Oh. That Guangqing Halao San is very good. Illiterate. Oh. Don't know, I don't have any formal education. He cultivate and learn himself. And according to that Kaiser Lua, you know what the disciples say or not? Because he is not educated, he's an illiterate. You know what he told the disciple? I have to be doubly more hardworking. People dare not do, cannot do, I will have to do. Because he believed to compensate for his lack of literacy, understand, or education, he need to put in extra effort to cultivate. That's why he do everything that people cannot do and don't want to do. And that's how he make it. Only through listening. He don't even know the words, understand? He only listen. And I was told he's from Fujian. Okay, we go on. I hope to finish this page. Page 42 there. What line are we? Okay, I think I know where. Then I can see the Sankara movement, the restlessness of mind, the sensual desire and other emotion arising within the daily life. If I realize that the mental hindrance are still active, it means I have not trained my spiritual faculty. If my spiritual faculty are there and the sati is very stable, then there is no thought. If that is so, then how can the duality arise? How can sensual desire and ill will arise? Oh, all this I have covered. Then when I have samadhi, I can see things as they are. Okay, all this covered. Until the subsequent line. It's just aware. It can be with the moment. Oh, I better read the front part. When I eat something, see something, hear something, and tactilely feel or think of something, this mind doesn't move anymore. Where it is collected and unwavering. It is just aware. It can be with the moment. So when you understand, you just train this mind until it's ever mindful. This part you have to do it. That's why whatever method or technique you use, like the rising and falling or chanting. Oh, I finished all this. Until Amitabha there. Okay, until the last sentence. As long as you still need to verbalize, you have not reached the stage where there is no one to chant. It means the voice is still there. But initially you need the voice because that is the one that gives you the faith to anchor the mind. Do you understand? That's why they have to chant. And when they chant, don't be gullible. Don't go and comment like certain people who don't understand Mahayana teaching, especially Pure Land. They say, chant, 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 no need to cultivate Four Noble Truths, Eight Noble Eightfold Paths also can become enlightened. You don't know what they are doing. That's why if you comment without understanding, it's very dangerous. I hope they understand. Do you know what they are doing or not when they are doing the chanting? They have faith in Amitabha Buddha. They develop the spiritual faculty of Saddha. And because of their faith, their virya is very strong. And they chant until no one is chanting, until their mind enters sati. That's how the spiritual faculty of sati come. Then when sati stabilize, they have samadhi. That's why they can see things as they are in the midst of life, because of the spiritual faculty. Then wisdom arise. Then all the sutta they read, mind you, if you are not from the Mahayana tradition, you better go and read some of the Mahayana sutta. They are not easy to understand. Especially the Wu Liang Shou Jing, Wu Liang Yi Jing, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. They got a lot of very profound sutta, I tell you. Don't be mistaken by what people without much understanding comment. You have to go and find out. Every tradition has their good point and weak point. Mahayana has its good point, but it also has its weak point. You know what is its weak point or not? They don't have the strong foundation of the Buddha's essential teaching, the Four Noble Truths, the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach under the Theravada tradition. That foundation is not there. And actually, what is foundation? The engineer will know. Yeah. Without the foundation, whatever building you put up is not going to stand up. So this is the kenpen, the foundation you have to build on. That's why you go to Mahayana temple, your training, they don't teach you much of this. The Theravada foundation, the Four Noble Truths. In fact, you need this. With this, you move over to Mahayana, very easy to understand. Everything that they teach may be very esoteric and what, but actually it's all from the Theravada tradition's teaching. Provided you understand the real Theravada tradition teaching. If you don't understand, sorry, you cannot understand them. And you will simply say things and comment. Then I wish you luck. So this part, I hope people can understand. But the good thing about Mahayana is they expanded the teaching. They go very deep into the cultivation. That's why the Bodhisattva way is very extensive. That's how all those Mahayana teaching, very deep in its meaning and full of wisdom, because their cultivation is so extensive, way beyond the sainthood way. So the pro and con, you need both sides to balance out the thing. That's why I try to integrate both their teaching. Then you ask those who attend my class, there is no contradiction at all. Everything is based on the Theravada's foundation, Four Noble Truth teaching. From there, everything spin off. You understand Theravada, you understand Mahayana. But if you are so conditioned, then it's very difficult. You know what is conditioned, huh? You are so conditioned by the word Theravada, then you take side. You know? Then everything not Theravada one, you don't want to look at it. Then you have your own views and opinion. Then how to learn? When you have an open mind, you investigate, then you see clearly. Both have its strong point and weak point. But when you combine them, they become beautiful. Okay, we stop at page 43. Why not you all go back and read the rest? You got any question, you ask me better. Because this one is very, very clear. Very, very clear. And I still remember when I did the transcript that time. The question for that day was also very special. Okay. Now we will do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then we invoke blessing for the nation. Then you make your aspiration. Okay. Akasatta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakkantu loka sasana itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati sitiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo deo asatu kalena sasa sampati hitu ce Vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Ipmina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yava nivana patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end. Sadhu. Rejoice with all this wholesomeness. And should also thank Sri An for allowing us to use this place for so many years. Chop near, 208, I remember. 909, chop near. You all should thank Eng Bia and Mi Fong and Sri An. They requested for the sharing to be held here 10 years ago, I think. She'll write there. No, after the talk, she came and see me, I remember. So, within that 2 hours or so, you summarize everything down there. That's why after that, he asked me, do you teach meditation? That's how everything started. The condition just so simple. It just happened. Without actually you all really knowing what it is. Yeah, you all didn't even really know what it is. But my nature knew. That's why I told Mifeng, you remember? At first he wanted to pour Ling Chui, he said, two of us only, you know. I said, never mind, one also I teach. You got serious. Then he said, I will get Sui An. Then after Sui An, I think he WhatsApp out. The first night, I think, he got six of us, isn't it? SMS, yeah. Six of us, huh? I remember, yeah. Six of us turn out, six of you all. So if it's five, you become five ascetic. Yeah, different one. Yeah. That's why when you reflect back, you will understand what condition is. Certain thing, it will happen in the Dhamma way, which unless you are a real cultivator, you will not understand. But now you will start to understand. Okay. So you can have your food.
So a lot of the things are without word. I have to go and look for the word.
No.